It's good to be in the house of the Lord once again with you all and just serving the Lord together. Amen. Do you have your Bibles? Amen. Sister Amanda, I didn't have this scripture put on the screen. Amen. If you just maybe find Revelation chapter 22, and we're just going to read verses 1 through 4. We were just going to pray for the grace of God this evening. Amen. As we speak and
thank you, Lord
Jesus. As you're turning to your Bible, it's the Lord put some thoughts in our heart, and it always has a place to start. And last Sunday we were together at Brother and Sister Sharapov's with Brother Kareem and Sister Shannon, and we were talking about the Lord Jesus, just as wonderful as it is, and around a meal. I'm sorry, I'm really making some noise here, and I don't know how to adjust myself. There, that's wonderful. Amen. So we were sitting around together, and we were just chatting about the things of God, and we got onto the thoughts of drawing closer to the Lord, and I can't really describe to you how the conversation went, but when we left the place, the Lord just began to move in my heart, and we just desire that we draw closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. And so we have some thoughts that we're going to bring up this evening, and it might not seem like they're all going to flow together well, but maybe by the end of the service, maybe the Lord will give us something that we can hold on to, and we can move forward in the fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was praying, I'm thankful to God. We want to speak about refocusing through the altar. Amen. Refocusing through the altar. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you can have your seats tonight. As we are familiar with the book of Revelations, and tonight we're not going to get into the really any depths of what is spoken here by John and further revealed today in the message, but I want us to see here in Revelations chapter 21 as we would look, and I want us to see that when John, he's taken up in the spirit, he was taken to a place where he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And this is the time where old things were passed away.
Yes.
All these old things of this life that are so meaningless and so temporary.
Yeah. Yes.
They were all passed away. And this is the place for overcomers.
Right.
I want you to notice that those that will dwell in this place are going to be people that overcome the tribulations and the trials and the testing of their faith. There is no more pain and tears and sorrows or death. This is a place where there is no fear or doubt. And as I looked at that, it was very interesting to me, because amongst no more pain and sorrows and death and the old things, but it lists that there will be no more fears.
Amen.
There will be no more nothing that would come against you that would cause you to have doubt within inside of your heart.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I go and to prepare this place for you. Now, as we read in our scripture here, chapter 22, to open with now, we begin to see, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. Now, as we see this picture here forming before us of the new heavens and the new earth, if you can think in your heart and see the imagery, I want you to know this is the place where Jesus said, I go prepare this place for you. Now, upon this earth, we see a reflection. And this reflection that we're seeing, we recognize that it's the place that we are going to. And Abraham maybe saw by faith and his builder and maker who was God preparing the celestial city for where he should dwell. But as we look at this, there's a mere reflection that must go on within the believer's life. Because we are the tabernacle of God, and the tabernacle of God. It reflects the throne room of God. And there is a place within sight of our being, and we call it the throne room, or we would call it the place that God would dwell, or we would say it is the tabernacle of holiness, or the control tower, or however you want to describe it. But I want you to notice that there is a throne that is on the inside of your being. And I want to recognize that in the blueprint, and we'll cover it maybe if we get that far, but in the blueprint of the tabernacle, or the blueprint of the temple, which reflects our lives, or and it reflects the print that is in heaven, we find that there is an altar that's there. Yeah. And I want you to see that in order to get to the throne, you need to come to the altar. And many times we kind of want to bypass the altar. And we want to go right to the throne. We want to go right there where God is, in the Shekinah glory. But you need to come to the altar before you can come to the throne of God. Amen. So in Revelation, John sees it, and it's he sees this city, and he says it is as a bride adorned for her husband, as a bride. And I thought this week, you know, our sister Charity is going to be married, and she is preparing herself, and she's making herself ready, and she desires that when she walks down this aisle, wherever it might be, I think it might be a center aisle, when she walks down that aisle and Brother Marshall sees her for the first time, that he will recognize her as somebody that is radiant and beautiful, and somebody that he registers in his heart that he wants to spend a time and eternity with her. And so the Bible speaks that this city was that which God has prepared, and it was like a bride that was adorned. It was in its beauty, it was in its grace, it was in its maturity, and it was adorned for her husband. But I want to underline it, as we spoke this whole month, we spoke about perfect faith. I want to tell you that it's only those that have perfect faith in the token will be there in that wonderful place. In this glorious city, now don't die on me now, just come along with me.
That's right.
Amen. In this glorious city is where the Lamb and the bride will live together. Can you imagine the place the Bible describes and how it measures a city that's 15,000 miles long and 15,000 miles wide and 15,000 miles high? And Brother Brandon would say these words, my home, sweet home, amen. To think that I have the privilege of going there and you have the privilege of going there. And so I want us to think in our hearts just now, if you would, that in order to go to this place that John saw, that place that of beauty, the place that is adorned like a bride, we have to come to the place to be in full fellowship with our Lord Jesus right here, right now, every single day of our lives.
Yeah.
We have to come to this place that we desire Jesus over anything of this life.
Yeah.
This life is so temporary.
Yeah.
The things that so easily beset us are so mediocre in comparison for that which is waiting for us. And I would ask that question, and we will all raise our hand. Who desires to go to that place? Yes, I desire. You desire to go to that place. In Psalms chapter 133, it would speak about, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. In order to come to that completion, and in order to come to that place that we can dwell in Christ Jesus and we can have fellowship with Jesus, we have to become a people that are in fellowship and in unison together in unity under Christ Jesus. We have to walk in Christ Jesus. Our personal lives have to be in unity with Christ Jesus. Our church life has to be in unity with Christ Jesus. The fellowship with the brethren has to be in unity with Christ Jesus. And the Bible continues and says it's like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, and even the Aaron's beard, and it went down on the skirts of his garment. And as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even a time forevermore. This unity that we're seeing that flows down from the Aaron's beard, that anointing oil, or that dew that fell upon a Hermon and it flowed down. And the imagery here is beautiful, because as you begin to see, if you research just a little about Mount Hermon there, there's a snow that's a capped and then it falls, and there's dew that comes lower down the mountain. But as the sun begins to shine upon the mountain, we begin to see that little trickles, little forms of tributary runnings form off the mountain, and they begin to flow one little bit of stream at a time. And as they flow, they begin to flow into each other. And when they flow into each other, eventually they come down to the base of the mountain, and there is the mouth of the Jordan River, and that gusher flows out where there's a teeming with life. That Jordan River teeming with life comes forth there from that Mount Hermon. And the visual here is that the blessedness of unity in your personal life, the blessedness of unity in the church, the blessed unity that runs amongst the saints is like that crystal clear water in Revelation chapter 22, referring to that water that comes forth from the throne of God. And I would like to refer to that water as the Holy Spirit that's flowing amongst you yourself, amongst your children, amongst the church people, amongst that which we are about. The unity of God in the Holy Spirit. But I want to again tell you that the Holy Spirit begins to fall like fire upon our lives, but it takes an altar for the fire of God to fall upon.
Yes.
Now, if we turn in our, and I have this on the screen, and I apologize, Sister Amanda, because I'm jumping around just a little. If you have Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea speaks here and says in chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I like this scripture. It is time now to sow yourself in righteousness and reap mercy. Now, this is another scripture reading I like to read as we follow through and build and begin to see a picture in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken.
Amen.
So the Bible begins to speak to us now in these two scriptures. And remember, we're focusing through the altar. We desire the power of God to fall in our lives.
Hallelujah.
We desire to come by the altar of God and come to the throne room of God and have our lives washed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That we might live a life, friend, that is in virtue, the life that is powerful, a life that's got dunamis inside of it.
Amen. Praise God.
This is what we desire.
Amen. It is.
In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap." It's a law of God. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I want to focus not so much on those things of that which is sown of the flesh, because I believe that we have come through justification. Can you say amen?
Yes.
I believe that we are living a sanctified life unto the Lord. I want us to notice that every one of us here seems to have repented and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of their sins. And the scripture says, "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So I don't want to speak so much about your flesh, because friends, we have died out to our flesh. I trust that we are. But we're desiring to look here. "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I think that we should look to this more, because we want to sow more to the Spirit of God. We want more of the Holy Spirit to flow into our lives. Now friends, we don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. May there be nothing inside of our lives that would hinder the move of the Holy Spirit within our personal lives. May there be nothing to speak about amongst the church or the believers that would cause a revival to be aborted or a revival to stop because of our silly ways or our fleshly thoughts. You know, I was sharing with Brother Solomon, and we were talking together about some of these things, and I just want to bring them to your attention. It seems like every time that God wants to move, Satan is there to buffet it.
That's right.
I want you to notice that every time there's going to be come of a revival, there's something there in the way that Satan desires to stir up.
Yeah.
This is a little something here that I want to speak about unity in the bride. You know, we're going to come up now here shortly to some special meetings. And special meetings is a time where we have the Holy Spirit begin to fall upon us. And we really look forward to the time of special meetings. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Preach it, Brother Steve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a time where the Spirit of God falls. But you know, we don't want to be a people here today that begins to fuss and to murmur and complain.
Yes.
Because when we do that, we hinder the Holy Spirit in the midst of the church. In fact, Brother Branham is very sensitive, and he says, you know, in that house of God, right here in the sanctuary of God, if there's a child, a baby should cry, you know, in a previous service, it could hinder the move of the Spirit in the next service. And so we must keep a very cautious thought about even the sanctuary of God, where we worship, and there should not be extra talking, or there shouldn't be expression. No, we want to have God to move right here in our midst.
Amen.
How many remembers, according to the law in the scriptures, we find out that, you know, if there was found two men fighting, and they were fighting, and there happened to be a pregnant woman in the way, and that pregnant woman would be struck, and for some reason, that woman's baby would be hindered, or she would abort that baby, or it would come forth sick. The men that were fighting would be directly responsible for that one that aborted or was hindered, or the child was hurt. And the Old Testament law would say it was an eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth, and it was the father of the child that would decide the fate of those that had hindered the birth of that child. Wow. Woe it be unto us, friends. Now think of it, it's a burn upon my heart. Woe it be unto you and I that you and I would hinder the Holy Spirit to move in our midst because the color of the carpet or the wall or a decision making or something that would go on with the lights or whatever it be, and there would be an animosity and feelings or whatever it is, and it come to a place where the Holy Spirit would want to come on the meetings of November 1st through 3rd, and the babe would be aborted because, and the Spirit of God would not be able to move. We would be responsible to our Heavenly Father. Come on, saints. I'm hitting home tonight. I'm getting somewhere here tonight. So we need to find ourselves in unity tonight in the Holy Spirit. We need to find ourselves by the altar of God. And whatever we reap is what we are going to sow.
Yeah.
Brother Branham would echo. He says, whatever you live, that's whatever life you will reap. You just as you sow, you reap. He also says, sow the word and you reap the word.
Yeah.
Sow yourself in righteousness and you shall, Hosea says, reap mercy. Oh, it's not by your righteousness.
Yeah.
It's not by what you have done, because Isaiah speaks it like this and says, our righteousness is like filthy rags.
Yes.
Your righteousness is like filthy rags. But we should, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yes.
We need to look to God and His righteousness. And when we're clothed in His righteousness, it means that we have traded garments.
Yes.
He took my filthy rags upon His shoulder and He gave me His glorious garments, His garments that are as white as snow, that Him and I could dwell in unity.
Thank you, Lord.
In the message, looking unto Jesus, the lovely one, for the lovely one, the righteous one, for the holy one has given His life, given His precious blood for a sacrifice, that it might reconcile us before God, that we'd appear in His righteousness, I like this now, blameless and faultless.
Thank you, Lord.
Before Him.
Thank you.
Coming before Him and trading our garments. He sees us no longer as filth and rubble. He sees us as you are sitting here today, blameless and faultless, standing before Him. We can look at the scene in heaven and we can say how wonderful it will be to be on that side and know that we're going to reach that other place, that new heaven and the new earth, because we have judged ourselves right here upon this earth, right here and right now, that we can be found blameless and faultless. Now, that word sowing, as we spoke maybe last time, but also I want to bring it forward now. That word sowing speaks of death, and it's burial, and it speaks of resurrection. And we can see that because we were planted in Christ, and when we're planted in Christ, we raised in Christ, and when we raised in Christ, we raised just as blameless and beautiful as He is. So we sow to ourselves in a sacrifice. That word sacrifice, it's a death, and a sacrifice has to die somewhere. Okay, when you go out hunting and you try to find an animal and you shoot it on the mountaintop, that's not a place of sacrifice. A place of sacrifice is upon an altar. So you sow to yourselves and it takes a sacrifice. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Paul the Apostle says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Yes, praise God.
Remember, we said that a Christian does not sin. Those are the words of the prophet. A Christian does not sin. A Christian makes mistakes.
Yeah.
It's because we have been crucified with him, and the body of sin is destroyed.
Yeah.
That henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, here's a moment, because if you haven't died to yourself, you haven't come to a place, and we still serve sin, we ought to now find ourselves in conviction.
Yeah.
Yes. We ought to find ourselves in a place to be justified, repent and be justified before God. We need to find ourselves in a place that we're washed by the blood of the Lamb. The life has cleansed you from all sin, and that you lie there as a sacrifice, ready to receive new life.
Yeah.
Now we're talking now about sowing, and sowing, it's speaking of sacrifice. Now Jesus would say to us in John chapter 12, verse 24 through 25, he would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone."
Right.
Now we got to remember that Jesus is speaking about his own life. And he's speaking about how that when he is buried into the ground and he raises to new life, there's a royal seed that comes forth out of his being, the royal seed of Abraham. Now we remember an example of an apple tree. You know, you place one seed in the ground, and when it dies and it's buried there and it rises again in new life, it begins to bring forth the life that was in the seed. And remember, it's an original seed. It's not a false hybrid seed, because a hybrid seed cannot reproduce its own life. And so you need to have a real original seed, and it brings forth life. And as it begins to grow and it forms bark and it forms limbs and leaves and so forth and a flower, all of a sudden an apple is formed there. And if you take the apple and you cut the apple open in its maturity, what you will see is the apple has many seeds on the inside of itself. And there's many apples upon the tree, which also has many seeds on it. And this is the picture Jesus is speaking about, whether it be corn or wheat, to however it would be, except the corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it would abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life now shall lose it. Now Jesus is now bringing a sacrifice. He's bringing us up to date with those that would lay themselves upon the altar of God. So if you desire to keep your life and you desire to always crawl off the altar, life is not for you. For he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into eternal life. So it's a dying out there upon the altar of God. Are you with me tonight? Is everybody coming with me? Perfect. So Paul is instructing, giving the Romans instructions. Then in Romans chapter 12, that they would present their bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. The old Levitical law was to bring a lamb, and it would provide a sacrifice that was dead. But God doesn't want dead people. He wants lively people. He wants people that are willing to cast their own affairs down, their old natures down, their old beings down, and be submissive to Almighty God. And so he says, now present your body, all right, a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Yeah.
And then he says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into this world, camouflaged into this world. Don't be a chameleon, you know, like those little lizards that can change their color wherever they are. No, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be different. Be an oddball, okay? Not one that wanders around looking, you know, smelling and dressing funny. No, different from this world. Your mindsets, your thoughts, everything about you is different from this world. And have a new mind of Christ on the inside of you.
Yeah.
So in order for there to be now a sacrifice, you're a living sacrifice. So in order to be a living sacrifice, there now needs, as we said, to be an altar.
Right.
So in the Old Testament now, the altar was a place where people met God face to face. Now, we want to talk about the Old Testament, but we want you really to see down the view, down the road, that it really is your life we're talking about.
Yes.
It's no good just to talk about historical things or what happened way back. No, we want to bring an up and present moment where we are in fellowship with God in such a way that the Holy Spirit is flowing over ourselves in unity. We are in unity with Christ Jesus. So in the Old Testament, the altars were placed there, and there's where people met God face to face. They offered sacrifices there. They sought for forgiveness. Now, I'm glad that you asked for an example, so I'm happy to give you one. And
yes.
You know, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of his firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering.
Uh-huh.
We see that Abel was instructed. He received a revelation. The command was, present a sacrifice unto me. And Abel produced by revelation a sacrifice unto the Lord that would merit, that would show forth what God did for Adam and Eve way back there in the garden when they had sinned and God had killed the lamb. And there, as I'm not sure how they got that revelation, but you know, by the speaking of the word and by the witness of their testimonies, Adam and Eve begin to speak forth what pleased God, and Abel caught the revelation. When we speak of the word, revelation comes about. You're not quite sure. You see, you didn't see it before, but as you speak about it and God quickens his word, suddenly it becomes a reality to you and I. Oh, praise his name. You know, I was speaking, you know, I don't often go to the library, but you know, there's two times just now that I had in my heart just to go to the library and study, Brother John. I got a nice place to study at home, but I just felt in my heart I'd just go to the library. And both times the Lord Jesus brought me up to somebody's where I could witness the gospel to. And you know, I was sitting there in my quiet little spot. You know, I was trying to focus, and I really wasn't looking around. And suddenly this young man comes and sits down beside me, and I don't want to sensationalize it in any way, but he sat down next to me, and he was looking over all the time. And suddenly he asked me, are you a computer programmer? And I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, oh, you're just typing away. I thought maybe, you know, there's a lot of computer. He said, well, okay. I said, no, sir, I'm a minister of the gospel. Oh, he said, okay. And he got quiet all of a sudden. So we're sitting there, and I just keep on going, and I was just waiting for something to present. I was, Lord, you know, whatever. I'll do whatever you need me to do, Lord, you know. So I'm sitting there, and suddenly he looks over and he says, I got a question for you.
Yeah, praise.
So I said, sure, shoot away. And you know, he was studying mathematics. He's going to be a teacher in mathematics. And if he hears this sermon, God bless him. I gave him the card and said, go to the website.
Amen.
But you know, he started trying to want to explain God by mathematics. And I was beginning to tell him that you need to receive God by revelation.
Hallelujah.
You need to come unto God, and you need to take a Bible and begin to read it and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I spent the next hour or so ministering to him and talking to him, and he was having a hard time because he did not have the revelation to see. But I kept on professing the promise. One day, son, you're going to be a Christian. I said, one day, he looked at me. One day, son, you're going to be a Christian.
Yes.
Well, you know, I was speaking this way.
Yes.
And there was another young lady, another student that was sitting just 5 feet away from me. And as we simmered down, well, something was clicking in her heart, because you know what? One wasn't receiving revelation, but the other, something was brewing. The Holy Spirit was moving. And it was this young woman. And she had come all the way in from Vancouver, deep Vancouver. And she was bored that day. She's a student, and she was bored, and she thought she would drive across the Blaine border to do something. Anybody been to Blaine lately? I mean, there's Starbucks, okay? And you don't go to the library in Blaine if you want to do something. So when she spoke that, I almost leaped out of my chair. I mean, I didn't, but out of my heart, I thought, Lord, now, what is it you want your foolish servant to speak to this girl? Because one was not receiving revelation, and I kept on claiming him and kept on saying, you're going to someday see it. But this one caught it. She turns around and she says, oh, I'm a Christian. I was just baptized. And I said, what were you baptized in? Well, oh my goodness, she told me, and I begin to explain for the next hour the Godhead. And we began to talk like this. And you know something, by the time they were finished, she had revelation and he just pulled his head over his shoulder. I wanted to point that all out to you, that one can sit right next to you and receive nothing.
Yes,
can sit as dry as a stone here in church and not have the unity of the Spirit. And there's another one that's quickened from the throne of God. They've laid themselves like a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable upon the throne of God, and the washing of the word flowing over, and the Holy Ghost begin to move, and there's life everlasting. Abel received the revelation, but Cain could not receive the revelation of the sacrifice for the sin. Another example here about sacrifices and offerings unto the altar of God. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. He never had a name change yet there. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land.
Yes.
And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He built an altar there to make a memorial of the promise of God that he could come again and he could say, this is your promise. You see, God wants to have that altar within our lives that when he makes a promise, you can come back again and again and again and say, Lord, this is your promise. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me. You said that healing is a law, and I claim that law for my life. Make a memorial of it. In 1 Chronicles 21, verse 26, and David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire. Now, I want you to see that in order for fire to come. Now, fire is represented by the Holy Spirit. And in order for fire to fall, there needs to be an altar. And I want you to focus in your life. In order for the Holy Ghost fire to fall upon your being, you have to have a consecrated altar unto the Lord with the inside of your being.
So good.
Now, how many knows that an altar is not a glamorous place?
Yes.
No, sir, it's not a glamorous place. The altar is not a sterile place. In fact, most of us, man, we would try, if in the natural altars, if you think about Israel and the temple and the altar that was there, and they're cutting lambs' throats and the stink and the stench and all that stuff. No, it's not a sterile place. It's a place of filth. It's a place of pain. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of death. Now, I want you to see that this altar that you bring yourself to be a living sacrifice, the one that you give your life to, place yourself upon the altar, it's there for your broken life. If you need healing for your broken life, that's where God will meet you, at the altar of your life.
Yes.
If you've got a broken marriage, this is where God is going to meet you. He's not going to meet you someplace at a psychologist's office. He's going to meet a broken and contrite heart saying, Lord, would you help my marriage? If you got wayward children, come unto the altar and bring forth your sacrifice. If you got unsaved loved ones, see, this altar place is where you bring all your anxieties and your sicknesses and all your fears and all your doubts, and you die to them right there at that altar. Oh, friends, if we could just get humbleness of heart to see this. Because it takes humbleness. I want to tell you, it takes real humbleness to face the facts. You know, when you got a broken marriage, each party thinks that they're the righteous one.
My goodness.
I'm not asking anybody to raise their hands tonight. When there is trouble in your life, everybody thinks that they're the righteous one.
My goodness.
But it takes true humbleness to refocus and readjust and come to where God can meet you, where the everlasting fire can come and consume all your fear and doubts and unrighteousness and your own selfish ways there at the altar of God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, it says, humble yourself unto the Almighty God. Yeah, you know, if that lamb comes, that lamb has to be humble. And his legs are tied. Now, lambs are known to lay very still once they're tied. I have nothing to do with sheep, but I've just read and they tell me when you tie a lamb up, he's meek. He's humble. He's kind of lowly. He bleats a little bit. But he's there. And he allows himself to be under the hand of that which is doing the sacrifice. So we need to place yourself there on that altar as a humble lamb. We need to be there now as one that's not embarrassed to pour ourselves out to God.
Amen.
Well, you know, your heart is the throne room. Your heart is that altar. Let's not get confused. It's not just an altar here at the church. You know, if we don't open the altar on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, or Wednesday, you feel that you missed it. No. Friends, the altar is in your heart. Brother Branham will say, you're welcome to come here to pray at this physical altar, or you can stay in your seats and you can call upon God because he'll meet you on in the altar there of your heart. But ultimately, you have to come to a place where you humble yourself and say, Lord, I have got an issue. Do you know the hardest part for people to admit is that they self have an issue? You know, if somebody's got problems with addictions, the hardest part is for them to actually get themselves into mind frame to say, you know what, I have a problem. Because they're always saying, I don't have no problems. I have no, oh no, I can handle this. I can do this. I can do that. Every criminal that you go to prison to visit, let me tell you, they are innocent. They've never done nothing wrong. They can't accept the fact. But if you are a person that you recognize the fault that's in your life and come humbleness, let me tell you, God then can do something for you as you begin to pour out your heart. Now remember Hannah in the scripture. Now Hannah, she was barren, and she knew that she was barren. And she began in humbleness to call unto the Lord. She found an altar in 1 Samuel, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept with anguish. Why? Because she desired to have a son. And she was barren. She couldn't have a son. Listen, it sounds horrible, but the fault was within inside of her body, and she couldn't have it. Her womb needed to be healed. Her womb needed to be opened. And so with bitterness of soul, she humbled and said, Lord, I commit. I give myself to you. I want a child so badly. And she made a vow unto the Lord and said to the Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your hands, your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, I will give your maidservant a male child, and it will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. She had a commitment with on the inside of it. You know, Brother Branham talks about how that someone is sick, and I don't have the reference here to give to you, but in my mind, if how somebody is sick, you know, you just don't promise God, well, God, I'll pay more in towards the church, or I'll do more, I'll paint more of the building, or I'll give more to the widow, or I'll do, no, you've got to come to God saying, Lord, I have a desire in some way to push forth your glory.
Right.
your honor, for your kingdom. I want to live longer for your desire. And so here, this is the same thing Hannah did. She said, Lord, in bitterness, Lord, I open to you in humble mouth. You know, even Eli, the priest was looking and saying, man, she's drunk. That was really embarrassing for her to come right out of her place and really open up.
Yeah.
What about you in your prayer closet? What about the time that you need to reflect to the Lord? Do you get to the place where you're just having a time with the Lord and your tears are flowing, you're just giving it out to God and God's presence is washing over? Do you have those times?
Yes.
Because that's what we need to have as a believer, to come into his presence with that type of humbleness and boldness to receive the promise that he has for us. Yes. You know what Hannah received? Her promise. Her womb opened. God gave her exactly according to her heart.
Praise God.
My. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 34, verse 17, it speaks the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. In Psalms 141, verse 1 says, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Come unto the altar and cry unto the Lord. I'd like to move forward just for a few more minutes. Is that okay?
Yes.
I told Brother Solomon, oh, we're going to worship early, and I probably told Brother Andy we're going to end early, but my goodness, I just would like to share a few more points if I could, because we want to refocus. We want to find that altar. We want the Holy Spirit to flow over us as we're at the throne of God. So the altar is a place where your faith in God is expressed. You express your faith in God. It's not always, Lord, I want. I need. No, you express your faith in God. And when you get up from the altar, you get up there from your praise before God, whether it's in your heart or physically here before us, when you want to express now obedience to what God has told you to do, you walk in the faith that God has asked you to walk in. Well, I like illustrations, so I found a little illustration that I thought would be suitable for you all to listen to. And if you're offended with my illustration, well, come back next week. I won't give an illustration. But, you know, there was a little country church one time, Sister Joyce, and it was kind of like this one here. And, you know, the preacher was like Brother John, who, man, he could preach and cause conviction and cause encouragement and cause the people to want to live higher. But also there was a time there the people would want to come and express themselves to the Lord at the altar. And so here we find, you know, Bill, I'm going to name him Bill. He would come to the altar every time. He'd just come, and we want to pray with you. Welcome every service to come. We'll pray with you. But Bill, he came every service, and he would begin to pray. And, you know, as he would pray, the pastor would come up and kneel next to him and just lay his hand on him. And, you know, we don't always have to say a lot of words. We don't always have to say and proclaim something or prophesy over you. Sometimes we just allow the presence. We're just like a midwife. We can be a little quiet and let things happen right there at the altar. And so, you know, the pastor had his hand on there, Bill, and Bill would like to say, Lord, I need you just to clean out all the cobwebs out of my life. Lord, I just need you to come and destroy these cobwebs. So week after week after week, you know, this was the same prayer over and over and over. And finally, you know, it came to the point where now the pastor felt that he had to intercede, which was a good thing. He had to say some words. And so as Bill begins to say, Lord, would you, oh Father, destroy and cut out all these cobwebs that are in my life. Clean them out, Lord. The pastor then leaned over with all wisdom and prayed, and he said, and Lord, would you once and for all kill the spider?
Yes. God.
Listen, I said that to you because you got to come to the root.
Yes. That's it. So good.
You got to come to the root of the problem by faith.
Amen.
You got to come up there and you can't be embarrassed. Lord, I'm suffering with it. Lord, inside, I'm suffering with the root of the problem. And you've got to name the problem. You know, many times people are like, you know what, I just don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. I'm a pretty good Christian, and I'm pretty, they become snobbish a little. They feel important, and so they say, you know what, I've been there, I've done that, you know what, I'm not going back there, I'm just going straight to the throne. Well, no, God meets you there at the altar. God allows you to come pure and clean and overcoming to the throne to allow his presence, but no, and you will reign with him in his throne. But I want you to know right now, your place is at the altar, meeting God at the altar. And Brother Branham would say in 1953 in Israel in the church, he said, brother, I'm telling you, some people say, I don't believe I have to get up to the altar and boo-hoo and cry around and snot around like the rest of them do. Stay back there then.
My goodness.
So this is what people are saying. I don't have to do this. Brother Branham says, okay. Stay back there then. But he says, I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. And then he quotes a song, I've started with Jesus and I'm going through. So ultimately, friend, tonight I want to share with you, if you desire to walk forward with God, you got to meet God at the altar. And you say, well, Brother Steve, I don't have a very good altar. Well, I want to bring in now these thoughts as we meet God, because God is a consuming fire. And for these last moments, I want to bring up these thoughts in our scripture in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. Because if you don't want to have a repaired altar, you can't meet the fire of God. You know, I want you to notice here at this time of Elijah's life, it was a time where God was going to have a showdown. It was one of the most powerful times, powerful moments in history for Israel. It was a moment where the true God would reveal himself in a dramatic fashion. Now, we would witness here, and you go back and read it, but let me tell you just a bit of the story. We would witness here a confrontation between the prophet Elijah and all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Yes. And so, you know, Elijah knew where he stood. Yes. Just like Elijah of today, he knew where he stood. Yes.
That's right.
But you see what happened with Israel, Israel had turned away from the Lord. And their altars had been in ruins. Their places of sacrifice, their places of monument, their places laid before, they were laying in ruin. And there they had turned from the Lord, and they had a backslidden king by the name of Ahab. And he married Jezebel, his wife, who worshiped Baal. And so they resurrected altars unto Baal, and they had all these things going on where the altars of God in their homes. Now, listen to your own families, to your own voices, to your own situation. Is your altar in ruins? Is your life in ruins? Are you not in fellowship with God? Have you got not a place for God's fire, all-consuming fire, the scripture says, to fall in your life? And so we have this backslidden nation and a backslidden king. In the separation from unbelief in 55, Brother Branham was saying Ahab was a borderline believer.
Yeah.
Just a fella that believed enough to make him miserable. My, do I know it? That's how some Christians are. They leave the house of God and they are just miserable. They're miserable at home. They're miserable at work. Their neighbors trigger them, and suddenly they shoot off like a buzzsaw. They're angry. They're ready to just rip anybody's head off. Come on. This is the type of people we are without the Holy Ghost.
My goodness.
Right? We're no more than a beast.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not here to preach or hurt anybody this evening, but I'm here to spur you on.
That's true.
Okay? We say these words not to degrade you or put you down or drop you a level. No, we say to spur you on, to make sure you just look at your life and ensure that your life is meeting the standard. If not, come back to the altar. You're going to see in just a moment. Resurrect the altar again with inside of your life. Did you ever see people like that? Well, they have a conception that they would like to go to church and do right. They feel like it would make them a better social person in their social lives. And maybe for the sake of their children, they think they ought to belong to church. If that isn't the most miserable person I know of.
My goodness.
I tell you, the best of the cut loose or shorelines and launch out into the deep or don't go at all. So either go all the way with Christ or don't go at all. Just simply stay home. Well, we don't want, Brother John, I wouldn't preach like that. Right? I wouldn't preach to the congregation, well, just stay home. No, but the prophet of God is making a point to us here that it's no point just living a so-so Christian life when you can be in full fellowship with Jesus Christ and you don't have to be a miserable sort of a person. So Elijah, he's one of them. He stands alone as the prophets, as the prophet of the Lord, and he's facing a multitude of false prophets. And Elijah calls the people now to choose between God and Baal. We say, Brother Steve, how does this even pertain unto my life? Every day you're making a choice between God and the world.
Amen. That's so true.
In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. That's what we should be saying, right? In the morning when I rise, I open my email. In the morning when I rise, I check my social media. See, we're choosing every moment. I'm not against platforms. Don't get me wrong. But we're choosing whether we're sold out to God.
So true.
Oh, don't get quiet on me because I went here. Okay? But we choose. How long will you waver between these two opinions? Like, how long do you want to stay dormant in your walk with God? How long do you want to sit with your home in a place that can't overcome? How long do you desire your spouse to walk past you angrily and you can't sort out your difference? You've got to make a choice and come back to an altar of God.
Yes.
Your altar in your life is broken down and it focuses upon the idols of this world, Baal. But we don't have to live there. It's time to rebuild the altar of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to read this and hopefully you'll forgive me and you'll love me after this and maybe you'll walk on with God a little stronger. But Brother Branham says like this in 61 Expectation, sin is so sneaky.
Yes.
And it sneaks right up on you before you know it.
So true.
Okay, none of us plan to serve idolatry or the things of Satan or, listen, none of us do it. None of us want to. Think I wake up in the morning and want to pledge my allegiance to this world? I don't want to do that.
Right.
But sin is so sneaky and it sneaks right up on you before you know it. See, that's the way it does. It grabs you like an old toboggan sled used to be and it's got you. The devil does that. Now, brother, let's get plumb back off his territory. Yeah. Let's come back to God. Come back to the altar. Rebuild the altar again. That's been torn down. Yeah. And build up your home.
Praise God. So good.
Now, Brother Brown now will list some things. And I don't think any of us have these things in our homes, but put something in there.
Right.
He says there, take them cards off the table and all them love story magazines and open up the Bible and read the Bible and pray.
Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a lost art. To sit down with your family and read the Bible.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not wagging your finger at nobody, because I've been there too. Many, many times.
Yeah.
We're tired.
Yeah.
The day's been long.
Mm-hmm.
Up early. To bed early. A few moments only with the kids, and they just want to chitter and chatter and run and play. And we have a hard time finding ourselves. And when we do finally sit down, everybody looks at you like you got seven heads. Like, what are you doing, Dad? Okay, and they all slump back in their chair. Eyes rolled up in their heads. Okay, just give it to us. And so you begin to read the Bible to them, and heaven help you if you want to make a comment around the scripture and expound just a little bit. And ever the wife's looking like, who made you the preacher? We got a preacher at church for that. And it gets so awkward. And it's so awkward enough, but you got to break through the sound barrier.
Yes. Yes.
What was his name? Chuck Rigger, I think his name is. Rigger, whatever it was, you know what I'm talking about. Flew airplanes. And he was a test pilot. He was flying a very fast airplane. He was trying to get up to Mach 1. Well, that was really uncomfortable, because everything was shaking and shuddering and moving. And he felt like everything was going to blow apart, like some of our families are when we start reading the Bible in devotions.
My goodness.
But you know something? When he made a decision, I'm going to go through. I'm going to go fast forward through and put the pedal to the metal. If I die or don't, if I ruin this whole thing. But he did. He went, and he suddenly broke through that sound barrier, and he had elbow room of space to fly at Mach 1. Can you imagine? I know some of you can that do have this, but those of us that maybe haven't really, can you imagine with your family? Some evening, you break through the sound barrier and your kids get anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine all of a sudden in your little living room, the power of God would fall like that water that came out from out the altar. And as it began to flow in unity together and come down to that mouth of the Jordan River where it teems with life, your child was sitting right there to receive that anointing from that heavenly throne, because you didn't bypass the altar. You didn't think you were just big enough to go to the throne. No, you made an altar. And the fire fell just as it did in Elijah's day. And you proclaim, we and my family will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And you get your home is anointed. And they come and live in a holy and strengthened life. And you're not worried anymore. Are they going to turn trans? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? Are they going to be wearing pants or dress at home and pants out in the school? Are your boys going to be talking dirty or watching pornography? Or what are going to happen? None of this would go on if we would just get down where the unity of God has come together.
Yes.
Yes.
And let ourselves be washed over by the Holy Ghost where that teeming life is.
Amen.
Ultimately, we desire to get to that new Jerusalem. We see that focus, that picture before us. Say, Lord, let us enter into that place, but spiritually let us come to that place where our lives are living sacrifices, in a place that we might mirror that heavenly place.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Father in heaven, in your presence, Lord, that's where you desire, and that's where we belong. In your presence, oh my God, where can I run, Lord, to your presence? It's really my burden. The whole burden of the service, Father, was that we would recognize, Lord, that we need to come to an altar, not bypass it, Lord, just come there that we could have new, refreshed, consecrated lives in our personal lives, in our homes, amongst our families, and in our church, Lord. I feel, Lord, that you're about to break a revival. I personally, to each believer, I really feel, Lord, as the time is coming up here, Lord, you desire to outpour your spirit by your word Brother John has preached a message on Sunday morning about finding and coming to that place of third pull. And oh God, we want to be in that place of faith where we can receive the open word, that it can be a stimulation, a revelation, and there can be an overjoyment in our souls, Lord. Whatever that would look like, Lord, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. So may the people have received a portion of this message. And may, Father, those things that would have hurt or they don't want to receive, I pray, Father, you just, Lord, work in their hearts. And Lord, put it there where they just can, Lord, wait a while on it, I pray. And maybe you could open their eyes that they also might could see, Lord, that out of their belly could flow rivers of living water if they would just come to the altar of God. We bless your name, Lord, as we sing a song or two. And then we close. I pray, Father, that your people be anointed today to live in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Would you stand together and sing the song with Brother Solomon? We'll sing maybe two songs and then we'll close.